Highways Voices, the podcast of Highways News, your one-stop destination for all the news about the highways and transport technology industries, and our must-read daily newsletter.
This week on Highways Voices, we're revisiting funding for traffic signals.
So in terms of actually showing the benefits, showing new equipment going up, showing junctions being improved, and showing the government that the authorities would spend this money wisely, and the sector and the suppliers were ready and able to do the work, absolutely we proved that. We proved that the money would be spent wisely.
We're talking to the DfT about the sharing out of £50 million of funding to improve traffic signals, plus £20 million more to come. Signals are changing on Highways Voices.
Highways Voices, in association with partner organisations ELCRIG, ADEPT, the Transport Technology Forum and ITS UK.
Darren Capes to come on the podcast today once we've heard from Adrian Tatum with the news catching his eye on our website.
Meeting Crossing and will benefit from 101 million of government funding for high quality walking and cycling routes, improving the quality of local public engagement for new walking and cycling schemes and free e-cycle loans. And also they'll be expanding a trial of side road zebra crossings and developing new active travel routes in national parks. Government AG Actual Traffic England has announced the new government funding will enable local authorities to deliver walking cycling schemes, and dedicated funding has also been issued to help councils undertake proper consultation with local communities. Together, these measures will unlock sustainable travel options for hundreds of millions of people, or more people across England, to give people the choice to travel safely on foot or by bike. And millions of bus passengers will enjoy cleaner, more reliable and more comfortable journeys as the government invests a further £143 million to roll out almost 1,000 new zero-emission buses. Transport Secretary Mark Harper confirmed that 955 zero-emission buses will hit the road as 25 councils receive funding to decarbonise their bus fleets. The new investment will make bus fleets more efficient, more comfortable and more sustainable. And a new £3.5 million annual contract to maintain North Somerset's roads has been signed. North Somerset Council and Mendip-based John Mainwright and Company have signed a four-year deal for resurfacing and other infrastructure works. New contract is part of a review of how the council maintains its roads. The previous highway maintenance contract has now been split into three separate contracts, allowing specialist companies to tender for work in their specific field.
You'll always be up to date with the big stories from the industry if you check the Highways News website, our X and LinkedIn pages, and, so long as you've subscribed, our daily email into your inbox every lunchtime.
SWARCO improves quality of life by making the travel experience safer, quicker, more convenient and environmentally sound. From software as a service traffic management solutions to parking, VMS, EV charging and road marking too, find out how SWARCO can deliver more efficient and safer traffic management. SWARCO, the better way, every day.
Well, it's not often £50 million gets injected into the industry, but letters have been going out this week to chief executives of 100 local authorities across England, telling them about the amount of money they're getting from the Traffic Signals Obsolescence Grant and the Green Light Fund to parts of the government's plan for drivers, and these authorities are getting up to just over £500,000 to do things with their traffic signals. Now, the man who's been managing it all on behalf of the Department for Transport is Darren Capes, the ITS policy lead. We've talked to him before on Highways Voices about this project and where the money's going and how it's being shared out. So now that the first chunk of money, because there's another £20 million we'll discuss as well in this chat, now the first chunk of money has been announced, I thought we'd catch up and find out how the process has gone. So Darren, thanks for joining us on Highways Voices.
Thank you, Paul.
And it's worth us going right back to the beginning. Of the initial £15 million that was shared out, nearly 3 years ago now, and the fact that because that went so well, that's what's led to this bigger chunk of funding this time.
Yes, that's right, Paul. The initial £15 million, which was 2021 now, it was our, the first time I think government in a long while has found funding specifically for traffic signals, and we managed to do that by spending some of the underspend in the wider highway maintenance pot, and we dedicated that particularly to signalers. And we built this quite novel challenge process that asked local authorities some fairly simple but telling questions about their priorities, about their use of technology, about their vision of the future. And on that basis, we handed out 39 awards of either half or quarter of £1 million. And we gave authorities that money to go off and spend maintaining traffic signals. And we really wanted two things from that. We wanted to see the outturn. So if we gave money for traffic signals, would that result in traffic signals being repaired? And we also wanted to see the outcome. If we did that, and if we did repair traffic signals, would that actually make a difference? And we felt that if we could prove those two things, there would be a good chance of being able to convince government to invest further. So although that £15 million is very useful in and of itself and did do a lot of good, its real aim was a bit of a Trojan horse to get this considered more widely by a government that, to be quite honest, doesn't necessarily think of traffic signals as being particularly interesting or compelling or important. But of course, people like myself and other traffic signal engineers know that's very important. They are pretty much the only tool we have to dynamically manage traffic in urban areas. So the £15 million was spent. Did we prove the outturn? Well, absolutely we did. That £15 million delivered something like it was nearly 300 different traffic schemes in 39 different authorities. So in terms of actually showing the benefits, showing new equipment going up, showing junctions being improved, and showing the government that the authorities would spend this money wisely and the sector and the suppliers were ready and able to do the work, absolutely we proved that. We proved that the money would be spent wisely. In terms of outcome, we also proved success. We found from some work we did working with INRIX and other companies that supply floating vehicle data, we found that we could really see a difference. And in authorities where the funding they'd been granted had been spent in a particular area on a particular corridor, we could see that by monitoring before and after vehicle performance using floating vehicle data, we could see between an 8% and 12% reduction in congestion in some areas. Now, that is incredible, and that's really significant. And to achieve that by spending what in government terms is a pretty small amount of money, totally proved the point. It proved the point that we could do it, we could spend the money, the sector was ready and willing to deliver, we could deliver schemes, and those schemes would have an impact. They would make a difference to urban travel. Having done that, that made the case for more funding when it came along much easier prospect to make that case.
So the other interesting thing that came out of the latest process for the £50 million was the sheer enthusiasm of local authorities, because it actually took you longer to work out who was to receive the money because you got so many more applications than you expected to get.
We did, yes. And it's a slightly tricky one to put a number against, because most authorities applied for themselves, but in some places we had combined authorities apply in a consolidated manner for their constituent highway authorities. So it's a bit tricky, but basically of about 121 areas of England that could have had somebody apply for them, we had applications from about 118 of them. So we did incredibly well. And what that meant was that we had applications. I think there were only, I'm not going to name them, but I think there were only three areas of England which for various reasons didn't make an application. Now that's unprecedented to get that kind of response, to get over 50% response from grant applications from local authorities is doing well. To get pretty much everywhere in England that was capable of bidding into this fund was phenomenal, and to be able to then repay so many of them, and actually nearly everybody that applied has got something out of this, again, is just a great thing to have been able to do.
Yeah, now explain to me, because there are kind of three parts of this. So there's £20 million for traffic signals obsolescence, there's £20 million for green light funding. Then there's another £10 million for traffic signals obsolescence that goes to all authorities.
And it's incredibly complex. And last week when I was trying to work out the figures, I was ruining my decision to make it so complex. But it was worthwhile. It was the right thing to do. And what we decided to do was found this around the challenge process that we developed in 2021 for traffic signal maintenance. We decided that idea of asking a small number of pertinent questions that allow us to understand the capability of authorities to deliver is the way to do it. Again, we didn't want to solve an 87-page questionnaire that required hours and hours and thousands of pounds to fill in and really took resource away from authorities. That's not what we wanted. We wanted a simple process that allowed people to provide us with evidence that showed they were capable of spending the money. And that's what we did, but not for the full money. So basically, the story is we had £50 million to spend on this. This is £50 million to spend on traffic signal maintenance of one variety or another. And we decided that we would spend £30 million of that on the traffic signal obsolescence fund, because that's traffic signal obsolescence is the cliff edge that's coming. This is the issue of equipment that we will no longer be able to buy, communications that we will no longer be able to use in the next few years. So it's essential that we address that. Now, again, working with colleagues in the local roads section of DFT, they were able to find money in their budgets to allow us to do that. They found us £30 million, and that's the traffic signal obsolescence grant. We decided that everybody has some degree of obsolescence issues. Some have lots, some have a small amount. Some authorities have made great progress in getting obsolete equipment off the network. Some haven't. But everybody has some issue. So we felt that everybody should get some money, and we shouldn't, those authorities that weren't able to make a successful bid shouldn't be completely penalised, and there should be some funding available. And that's why we came away with this mechanism of £10 million is divided using existing formulas. So we have a general formula that we use to distribute the integrated transport block funding around authorities. And this is the main multi-billion pound funding that we hand out to authorities to deal with general road maintenance, to deal with carriageway condition and structures and drainage and all the other things that we do. We have a formula for that, which allocates funding given based on road length and population and other factors. We use that formula to allocate £10 million of the obsolescence grant. That meant that everyone got something. Everyone got a sum of money, which is able to allow them to start to think about obsolescence and affecting that. But the authorities that have a real issue with obsolescence through the Challenge Fund were able to make the case and receive more funding in £500,000 lots from that £20 million. We also realised that nearly every authority in England has some issue with traffic signal maintenance, and it may not be obsolescence, and it may be that an authority has done very well in dealing with obsolescence, but it doesn't mean to say funding the tuning up of traffic signals it isn't something that we should be doing. That's why we have a separate green light fund. So the authorities that felt themselves to be not really able to make a bid for the TSOG for this traffic signal obsolescence grant, because they've done well in dealing with that, there was another fund that they could bid into for general maintenance and general upgrade. And this is the Green Light Fund. And this is really, the GLF is really the son of the traffic signal maintenance money that we issued in 2021. It's doing the same thing. It's giving people money to undertake general maintenance of the network. The total of that is £50 million. Everybody gets a share of the £10 million of obsolescence grant that we hand out. On top of that, the winning authorities, or the authorities that were successful with their challenge bids, and there are 67 of those, they get an additional £500,000 to go off and do more work around obsolescence or work around tuning up around green light. They get some of that. Letters are going out this week, as you said, Paul, which will explain that in slightly more detail, explain who's got what. In some areas as well, we also allowed combined authorities to make bids for consolidated. It's on behalf of all their constituent authorities. And in some areas, that's what we've done. So in some areas, the funding will go to the combined authority and they will distribute it by whatever local means they normally use to distribute funding. Some areas, it will go to the individual local authorities. And in some areas, it's a mixture of the two. And the automatic element and the challenge element will be going either to the combined authority or the highway authority. So we've ended up with quite a complex picture because of that. But the letters that local authorities get, and I would just make a plea here for signals engineers and others involved in this. If you don't hear this week what that letter is, that means it's probably stuck in your chief executive's inbox. Please contact your chief exec or their PA or whoever and get a copy of that letter. And that will explain in more detail how the funding that you've received has been broken down.
Interesting how you said about the fact that some authorities have made greater strides in dealing with signals obsolescence than others. There would have been a risk, I guess, that you could have said, right, we're going to spend this money on making sure that, you know, for example, all halogen lamps have been replaced or all 2G connectivity is being upgraded, and authorities that have already done it would miss out on money because they'd almost be penalised for being efficient. So was that kind of the brainchild behind the Green Light Fund to, if not reward these authorities, but make sure that they get something? And if they're already at the cutting edge because they've dealt with their obsolescence, they're more likely to do something really special with the Green Light Fund?
It is, and it's very much that. It's very much to be able to say to authorities that even those that have done well with dealing with obsolete equipment still generally could do with money to generally fix traffic signals. And I think you have to remember there is another political driver behind this. So the Obsolescence Fund at one level is about saying, yes, we know there are some cliff edges coming around the availability of equipment and the availability of certain old communication media that means we need to get rid of them. Underneath that, there is the plan for drivers that the Secretary of State announced back in October, which is the government's desire to accept that for many of the journeys that we make, car use is still essential. And plan for drivers isn't in any way saying that we're backing away from active travel and supporting cycling and walking and access to the highway network for all. Those kind of things still crucially important, but maybe over the last few years, we haven't really acknowledged the fact that car use is still and will continue to be vital for many of the journeys that we make. And that's true for personal car use. It's true for freight and distribution. It's true for logistics. It just is true. And Plan for Drivers is aimed at kind of acknowledging that truth. And traffic signals are part of that because, again, Plan for Drivers acknowledges that dealing with congestion, dealing with stop-start driving, dealing with the problems that poorly performing traffic signals generate, not only about our individual journeys, but in terms of emissions and pollution and noise, getting traffic signals working effectively just helps with all those problems and helps with how we drive, how we make the necessary car journeys that we need to make in our cities. So Green Light Fund was kind of driven by that, really, by saying, yes, there is an underlying technical issue around obsolete equipment, But underneath that, even at an even lower level, there is an underlying desire to just make journeys more effective and more efficient where they need to be made. And Green Light Fund acknowledges that dealing with obsolete halogen lamps isn't the only thing we're trying to do here. What we're really trying to do is make our traffic signals more efficient and more effective. And that's not only about obsolete equipment, that's about just general maintenance. It's about all the great things we did in 2021 with traffic signal maintenance funding. And it's about allowing us to provide more funding, more new funding to allow us to carry on doing that.
So what's the next step now for authorities who are getting this cash?
Authorities should start to see the money landing in their bank accounts this week. We will also start the write around, the mail out of letters to chief executives, explaining in more detail the table that we've already published, what money each authority gets, how it's been divided, how relationships with combined authorities work. Those type of things will all be in that letter. So those letters will arrive this week as well. After that, we will ask local authorities, we will give local authorities about a month. So through April, we will expect authorities to provide us with some information about the schemes they intend to deliver. Now, again, we've not been massively prescriptive about this, and we're not asking for massively detailed programmes of works because we understand that the level of funding we're offering, while significant, doesn't really justify authorities spending a huge amount of time on proving what they're doing and spending money on bureaucracy that they could be spending on fixing traffic signals. So it'd be fairly light touch. There will be a portal on the TTF, the Transport Technology Forum website, that each authority will be able to go into. They will have their own area with their own usernames and passwords. And in that area, there will be a simple table asking local authorities to give us a list of the schemes that they intend to deliver, roughly when they intend to start, when they intend to finish, what they expect the budget cost of them to be. And we'll expect that information by the end of April, just to give us a start of some project planning to see what people are doing. And that's something that we'll ask people to update throughout the process. So every 3 or 6 months through the next 2 years, we'll expect people to update that information. So we start to see a trend and we start to see schemes being delivered. And I think, just again to make the point we made earlier, this is absolutely crucial because this is the evidence that will allow us to repeat this process in the future. Proving that this money has been spent wisely, that schemes have been delivered, that improvements have been made, that performance has improved, that the networks have improved, is exactly what we need to do. So I would issue a plea really to authorities to really engage with that because that gives us the evidence we need to be able to do this again. In the background, colleagues in the department working with our evaluation colleagues, we will be starting to do some evaluation. Now, for this funding, because it's, again, quite small scale in the grand scheme of things, we will be looking to see how we do that centrally. So again, we'll be looking at floating vehicle data. We'll be looking at national data sets that we already have access to. We'll be mixing that with what we understand about where people are undertaking schemes, given the information that they provide us. And we'll be using that to in the background, start to do some initial understanding, initial research and evaluation around the performance of parts of the network where we know this money's been spent.
And of course, no peace for the wicked for you, Darren, because now that this has at least come to the end of a chapter of the workload, there's another £20 million that I mentioned in the introduction that's the ITMF, the Intelligent Traffic Management Fund. You're going to start the process of that now?
We are indeed. Yes, Paul. In the next few days, on the 1st of April, we will open a similar challenge process. This one asks authorities to answer and to provide evidence around 9 questions rather than 6. But it's a similar thing. But this is for a fundamentally different type of funding. This is for research funding rather than maintenance funding. And the aim of this research funding, the aim of the ITMF, is to set up a small number of more significantly funded beacon sites around England where we provide funding for authorities to implement the next generation of traffic management. Now, this, again, ITMF, Intelligent Traffic Management Fund, it does exactly what it says on the tin. It's funding that's intended to allow authorities to procure the next generation of traffic management. So we're all familiar with using Scoot and Mover. We're all familiar with traditional UTC, the way that signals work. We're familiar with the types of data from loops and other sources that we use to drive traffic management in our cities. That all works incredibly well. It's very reliable. It gives us efficient networks. It does a great job. But we have to ask the question, well, this is fundamentally quite old technology. And we know that technology is moving on. We know that there are opportunities. We see already products such as Fusion. We see the latest generations of Scoot that they're coming out. We see other products being used in Europe and other services being used in Europe. They're bringing new types of data, new opportunities to play. The use of better data sources, the use of more wide-ranging data, the employment of machine learning and AI, the building of digital twins, all these are opportunities that potentially should be able to make us even better at how we manage traffic on our networks. £20 million that we're handing out through ITMF won't fund this across the country, but it will allow us to set up some beacon sites and fund them to deliver new technology. And it's aimed at local authorities working in collaboration with probably main prime suppliers, but also with SMEs, to deliver new solutions, to deliver new ways of managing traffic, to start to use this new technology to show how traffic management will move forward in the next 10 to 15 years, and do that in a way that allows us to assess it. Because one of the biggest problems with getting the public sector to use new technology is proving the business case, is proving the financial case for investing in new technology. And so ITMF is aimed to help us do that. It's aimed to provide us with sites that we can study, that we can evaluate, and help to show what the financial benefit, what the business case for investing in new technology is. Allow people to take that information away and allow authorities to use it to develop their own business cases, to invest in their own areas, and basically set a precedent for what the future of traffic management could be in this country.
Darren Capes, you're a busy man. You've been working really hard on all these elements of the government's plan for drivers. £50 million shared out among local authorities across England is certainly not to be sniffed at. And now we can get into some really great ideas for the future with another £20 million. So we'll keep an eye on this, as we have been doing on Highways Voices and Highways News. But for now, thanks again for joining us here on Highways Voices this week.
Thank you, Paul.
Don't forget, you can find out more about that funding at the TTF conference next month in Leicestershire. It's the 23rd, 24th and 25th of April, and you can find out more at the TTF website.
Highways Voices, with the latest news and events from our partner organisations Elcrig, Adept, the Transport Technology Forum and ITS UK.
So we've had lots of news in this podcast about the TTF and Elkrig and the work done with traffic signals. And we've got lots more on the Highways News website. But elsewhere, ADEPT has responded to the Department for Transport's Street Works Fines and Lane Rental Surplus Funds consultation. In the response, they've emphasised the urgent need for better road maintenance funding and more effective penalties. ADEPT believes doubling fixed penalty notices will deter inefficiencies. They also support applying overrun charges on weekends and bank holidays to address traffic congestion, holding utility companies accountable for their impact. The response advocates for streamlined processes in setting up lane rental schemes to ensure that surplus funds enhance existing government investment in roads. This approach aims to improve road conditions for everyone and enhance efficiency in street works management. And the next ITS UK Inclusive Mobility Forum will take place on the 24th of April. And we'll explore the role technology plays in delivering last mile services, including in the area of taxis and demand responsive transport. It'll hear from East West Rail and intelligent mobility consultants BT Kubitz and Mike Galvin in a session exploring how technology can support accessibility. You can sign up through the website.
Highways Voices with Paul Hutton and Adrian Tatum.
Finally, let's leap back to Adrian for him to tip his hat to someone or some people doing great things in the industry. It's time for
Adrian's accolade.
And my accolade this week goes to the team of litter pickers that have been working for National Highways. More than 25 tonnes of rubbish were collected from motorways and A-roads in the southwest over the past 12 months. Since April 2023, a total of 6,000 bags of litter and rubbish were collected, as well as large items including mattresses, electric cables and carpets, along the busy routes between Gloucestershire and Cornwall. The latest litter pick took place last month on the M5, where teams picked up over 500 bags of litter. As we look to reach net zero and care for the environment more, this is why the National Highway Litter Pickers are my accolade winners this week.
And that'll do it for a busy Highways Voices. More next week, when we'll talk about the future of technology in the auto industry and how it's making for safer, more efficient driving. And don't forget, we'll soon be bringing daily podcasts from the huge Intertraffic Amsterdam event. And the podcast there will be thanks to SWARCO, AGD Systems and Traffic Group Signals. We'll catch you soon.
Highways Voices. Join us again next week for more insights from those that matter in the industry.